Hello everyone and welcome to the AstroPH Daily Review podcast by Mikhail Lisakov, episode 9. Today is still 2020, November 5th. Today's paper is short but nevertheless very comprehensive. It's titled Magnetic Flux Inversion in a Peculiar Changing Look AGN by Nicholas C.P. and co-authors. As usual, first I will read the abstract. We argue that the changing look event in the active galactic nucleus 1ES 1927 plus 654, followed by a dip of 3 orders of magnitude in the X-ray luminosity, is controlled by a change in the accretion rate and an inversion of magnetic flux in a magnetically arrested disk. Before the changing look event, strong magnetic flux on the black hole powers X-ray emission via the Blanford-Znaik process, while the UV emission is produced by a radiatively inefficient magnetized disk. An advection event, bringing flux of the opposite polarity, propagates inward, leading first to a rise in the UV optical luminosity and then to a dip in the X-ray luminosity when it reaches the black hole. We estimate the timescale for magnetic flux advection and find that the observed timescale between the beginning of the changing look event and the minimum of the X-ray luminosity, approximately 200 days, is in agreement with the time needed to cancel the magnetic flux in a MED extending to approximately 180 gravitational radii. Although flux inversion events might be rare due to the large ratio of flux to mass that is needed, we argue that AGN showing an unusually high ratio of X-ray to UV luminosity are prime candidates for such events. We also suggest that similar events may lead to the jet interruptions in radio-loud objects. So, what is a change in look event in AGN? Basically, there are two types of AGN regarding the appearance of their broad line region emission and narrow line region emission. And type 1 AGN exhibit both narrow and broad emission lines, while type 2 AGN exhibit only narrow emission lines. And narrow emission lines usually arise from the region that is located farther away from the black hole than the broad line emission region. So when the type 2 to type 1 change in look event happens, it exhibits broad emission lines in the source, and usually it is accompanied by a rise in optical luminosity by a factor of 2 to 10. This is exactly what happened in the source 1927 plus 654. The peculiarity of this source is mostly attributed to the X-ray luminosity, which was approximately 1 to 2 orders of magnitude higher than expected before the change in look event. And during this change in look event, which happened in optical and UV, and the optical and UV luminosity rose by a factor of like 10 to 100, there was a dramatic decrease of the X-ray luminosity by 3 orders of magnitude. And this X-ray and optical variability were not coordinated, while usually they are expected to follow the same trends during these change in look events. With some simple estimates, authors came up with the conclusion that the accretion disk before the change in look event could have been a magnetically arrested disk. This could explain the ratio of X-ray luminosity to the optical luminosity. One of the main points of the paper is that the authors attribute the increase of the disk bolometric luminosity by a factor of 100 to two processes. First, the increasing of the accretion rate by a factor of 10, and also the increasing of the efficiency of accretion efficiency also by a factor of 10, from 10 to the minus second power to 0.1. The tenfold increase in accretion rate is also consistent with the long-term stable values of the X-ray luminosity, which has finally recovered from the dip. This might be an indication that the innermost part of the accretion disk went MED again. But it takes some time for this MED regime to extend over a region, a larger region of the accretion disk, which is responsible for the optical emission. That's why optical and ultraviolet emission decays slowly, while the MED conditions extend to the outer parts of the Christian disk. The other point of the authors is that the increase of mass accretion rate is not sufficient to explain the reduction of the X-ray luminosity and the destruction of the X-ray corona. And they claim that there should be also an advection of a magnetic flux with the opposite polarity to the dominant magnetic field in the disk. Then the authors calculate the accretion time that is required for the magnetic flux to be carried from the optical part of the accretion disk to the black hole. And using two methods, they obtain the same estimate of accretion time in units of 200 days, approximately 0.1. That means that the accretion time is 20 days. In the abstract, the authors claim that it is 200 days. So that puzzles me. I cannot understand. And if the accretion time is like 20 days, it cannot explain the light curve that was observed for this source. So what about the change in look? What about the appearance of the broad line region? Broad emission lines appeared a couple of months after the increase in the optical on UV luminosity. And this is very well consistent with increased accretion rate and efficiency. It actually takes some time for the broad line region to get an idea that something has happened in the accretion disk. Another fact that adds to the peculiarity of this source, 1927 plus 654, is that it probably has a magnetically arrested disk, but it shows completely no radio jet. So this is still an open question, I think, and there is a broad field for some speculations. So my overall impression of the paper is that it might be a little bit inconsistent. But I like how the authors finished their summary by emphasizing that we need more observations and especially monitoring of X-rays as well as optical emission in the change in look events. So let's observe more in X-rays, in optical band, and of course in radio. Thank you for listening and see you tomorrow.